I apologize to you in advance. I did not prepare, and I know we are middle of something very complicated. So let's try to just do a little bit, try to figure it out together, just a little bit, and then we'll go on to discuss something that I did prepare for. Okay, let's see. So we are up to Kuf Samach page, Kuf Samach. Okay, let's start from. Let's see. Let's start from Kuf Samachay. We'll do some fresh. Kuf Samachay. Halacha Kuf Samachay. Page Kuf Nun Hey. Page Kuf Nun Hey. Kuf Nun Hey. Halacha Kuf Samachay. Okay. Page Kuf Nun Hey. Kine. Acquire. I'm paying Halacha Kuf Samachay. Ksivit says in the Pasuk, Pagid Avon Avais Albanim. Vial Bnei Bar, Vial Shleshim, Vial Ribayim Lesoinoi. We learned this yesterday, twice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Pagid, he visits. Sin of the fathers, the sin of the fathers upon the children, upon the Bnei Banim. Al Shilei Shiv Yal Ribayim L'Sonoi, to those that Hashem, to those that L'Sono, to those that I hate. But V'Oise Chesed L'Sonoi, to my enemies. L'Sonoi. V'Al Ribayim L'Sonoi, to my enemies. To the enemies of Hashem. But the Oisei Chesed La'alof, Hashem does kindness for 1,000 generations. So Hashem will always remember Zuchus Ovois for 1,000 generations, but when it comes to remembering the sins of the previous generation, it only goes back 4 generations. And as we remember, this is not the first time that the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid brought up this point, he brought it up already before, and there he said, there are many exceptions. So don't get carried away and think that after 4 generations it's all over. For Rachmana Litzlan, the sin is very, very severe. It can even span more than 4 generations. And the example that he gave was Eli HaKoyen. Eli HaKoyen did not give Musar to his 2 sons, Chofni Upinchas, and therefore the sins, their sins were they were held accountable for many, many generations, more than 4 generations, even down to the time of Abaya and Rava. Who are buying Rava?
No.
Eli HaKoyen, whatever it wasn't a curse. He was Shmuel, criticized him. He criticized, why are you allowing your sons, Chofni Upinchas, to be corrupt in the Beis HaMikdash? And that was part of the process of the Churban Shiloh. We're now coming out to Tisha B'Av. Okay, so Tisha B'Av is very interesting. We only commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, by the way, which one do we commemorate? Do we commemorate the Chumayis Rishon or do we commemorate the Chumayis Sheni? What are we mourning? It's not so simple at all. It's really, really not so simple. What exactly are we coming to mourn for? So many will tell you both a little of the Bayis Rishon and a little bit of the Bayis Sheni. What do you mean the Bayis Rishon is this ancient history? Let's do something that's relevant. Why do I keep making that mistake? I'm losing it. Let us do something that is current. Okay, let's stay away from that word for 5 minutes till I memorize it. Let's do something that's current. What do we have to go back to the Bayis Rishon? Now, what's the proof? If you want to go back to the Bayis Rishon, well, why not mourn also for Shiloh? Shiloh was a major, major Beis HaMikdash. It was Kiloy Basi Arata El HaMinucha V'El HaNachala. How long were we in Shiloh? For 369 years. Why don't we mourn the Churban of, why don't we mourn the Churban of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan? After 40 years of Moshe Rabbeinu having a Mishkan, what happened to the Mishkan? Where'd it go? It went to Gilgal. So, but Gilgal, it appears, was not the same. There's something different about Gilgal that we don't know about. And then after Gilgal, it was there for 14 years. Then we don't know what happened. It was destroyed. It came to an end. Something unpleasant happened. It's a different structure. It appears that the Mishkan of Gilgal was not exactly the same as the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. For 14 years, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan was for 40 years. Then we had the Mishkan of Gilgal for 14 years. Then we had the Mishkan of Shiloh for 369 years.
When you say Mishkan, you mean the outer wall?
Yes, the structure, the building. Noiv and Givon for 57 years together. How much each? I don't know. Noiv and Givon. First was a Noiv. Shaul slaughtered Noiv. Shaul went on a mission to go to find David. He found out that the people in Noiv, they supported David. They gave him food. They gave him lechem upon him to eat. He was starving. They gave him the sword of Goliath. So Shaul wiped out the city of Noiv, the place where the Mishkan stood. Unbelievable. And then they moved to Givon for a period of time. And that, we don't exactly know what happened there either. Also, there was a Churban. And then it went to temporarily to Ir David. But then was built, the next major Mishkan was the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In total, there have been seven Mikdashos. Why seven Mikdashos? Corresponding to the seven Mizbechos that were built by the Ovos. Rashi, 2 weeks ago, Rashi quoted the last week, Balak. Okay, Balak, Rashi says that how many Mizbechos did Balak erect? Seven. Kineged, the seven Mizbechos that were built by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham built how many? Four. And Yitzchak built one. And Yaakov built two. So that's a grand total of seven. So Balak, he built seven Mizbechos to counteract the koyach of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why is it that the Avos built seven Mizbechos? What is the significance that they built seven Mizbechos? Because the seven Mizbechos correspond to the seven Mikdashos that we have, that we had, which are Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan, the Mishkan of Gilgal, the Mishkan of Shiloh, the Mishkan of Noiv, the Mishkan of Givon, the Mishkan of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Seven. Seven Mizbechos of the Avos corresponding to the seven Mikdashos. There's another Chazal. How many Anane HaKavod were there in the desert?
Seven.
How many times in general is it mentioned in the Torah the concept of the Anane HaKavod? Seven. What is the Anan? It's the Makam of the Shechina. The Hashra Sashana Ki Be'onon Eroeh Alaka Pires. How many Ananim do we have in history? How many Mikdashos? The Mikdash is really just one big Anan. It's really a physical structure which serves as our Anani HaKavod. So there are seven. Okay? How many times did Yaakov bow down to Esav? Seven times. What does it say in the Medrash? Because you bow down to him seven times, his influence, I don't know what this means exactly, will be the cause of the seven Mikdashos that you had in history will be destroyed. Now, destroyed? That's a very powerful word. Whoever said that Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan was destroyed? Whoever says that Gilgal was destroyed? We know that Shiloh was destroyed. That for sure. We know that Noiv was destroyed. We know that Bayis Rishon was destroyed. We know that Bayis Sheni was destroyed. Who says that Mishkan of Moshe was destroyed? Who says that Gilgal was destroyed? Who says that Givon was, Mstama Givon was destroyed? It was times of war. So it's not so clear what it means, but basically Chazal said, because Yaakov Avinu bowed to his brother Esav seven times, that created a koyach of weakness in Klal Yisrael, that there had to be seven Mikdashos, and each one of these Mikdashos had its time, and its time came to pass. Okay, all of this, by the way, is all mentioned in the first Kin on Tisha B'Av. Kin Avav mentions the seven Mikdashos. We'll discuss, we'll learn Kinas, the seven Mikdashos. Now, Now, my question to you is, why, well, let's take a step back. From all of the seven mikdashos that were destroyed, question to you, which one was the most traumatic?
Shiloh.
Shiloh for sure. Okay, you wouldn't know, you would say, oh, the Bais Rishon, or maybe you would say the Bais Sheni. Which one was the worst, had the greatest effect, was the greatest trauma for Klal Yisrael? The truth is Shiloh, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because it was the first time ever something like this ever happened. It was the first time there was a churban in Klal Yisrael. The Oroin was captured. Bayeshayon wasn't captured. It was put in Geniza long ago by Yoshiyahu. Nishba Oron Hashem. Gola Kovod Mi Yisrael. Read the Psukim. If you don't read the Psukim in Shmuel, you have no clue. The trauma. And you learn Yeshaya. When Yeshaya, the nastiest thing a Navi could say to Klal Yisrael, that was like, you know, there are certain things where people, we all take abuse. There's no one in this world that's free from abuse. We've all gotten a good insult, a good shtech here and there, no? I don't know about you, okay? So every so often they say very nasty, biting, harsh words. So sometimes someone says something to you, they go over the red line. Oh, you say a little joke, a small insult, all right. But sometimes people say things that are below the belt, right? Below the belt. You've crossed the red line, it happens. A Navi, when he would give Musa, we learned what they said. They said some very, very nasty things, harsh things. But there was one thing that we find by Yeshaya, I cannot quote you at this moment chapter and verse, but we had this many times when we studied. There was one thing that a Navi would say, it was, he would cross the red line with them. And that is, if you don't shape up and behave, it's going to be like Shiloh all over again. No. You would say to someone, it's going to be like Shiloh all over again. You know what it's like saying? It's like saying, the Holocaust can happen all over again. Can you imagine a person coming and saying that to you? The Holocaust can happen. They mean it. They're not just talking about, you know, behave yourself. Someone is saying, it's like, wow, you don't say that. You don't say Shiloh all over again. So the question really is a very tough question now. It's a very serious question. Why is it, on Tisha B'Av, is it understood, is it assumed, that we're only mourning for the Beis HaMikdash? Now, which one are we mourning for? If you look, you'll study very carefully, many will argue that we're only really focusing on the Bayis Sheni. We're not focusing on the Bayis Rishon. Put it away. It's nice history. It's Jewish history. You want to go talk about the Crusades? You want to go talk about Chmelnytsky massacres? Do you want to talk about pogroms, blood libels, expulsions, disputations, which had a horrific aftermath? Very nice, very nice. You go to the Chofetz Chaim video and watch a nice inspirational video. They'll talk about history and the effects of Lashon Hara. But that's not what you're doing on Tisha B'Av. The reason why you're not wearing shoes, the reason why you're not eating, the reason why there is a Tisha B'Av, many will argue very strongly, it's only because of the Churban Bayis Sheni. If there was only Churban Bayis Rishon, we would not have a Tisha B'Av. I mean, whatever, it wouldn't be such a great day, you know, whatever it would be, but it's not going to be Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is for a reason. Once already, Tisha B'Av, let's go to the archives and let's dig up whatever we can dig up about Tisha B'Av. Question. Why don't we mourn on Tisha B'Av for Shiloh?
There was no Galut.
Gola Kavod Hashem, it's even worse. There was no Galut of the Jewish people from the land. So you want to say there's totally in the Golos of the land? That's true. You're saying something that's very, very true. Because we do find a lot about Tisha B'Av is the Meraglim, the day when the spies came back and they rejected it. You're saying something very, very true. Very profound, I agree. But let's put that aside for now. Yeah.
Doesn't Tisha B'Av include all the tragedies? I mean,
it does and it doesn't. What's the trigger? We have to understand, what's the trigger to make the day into a day of mourning? Once already it has become a day of mourning, now we incorporate every tzar that ever happened. Throw in the kitchen sink. But you're not going to make it a day of Tisha B'Av because the kitchen sink is clogged. Okay, it's not going to happen. You're going to have Tisha B'Av because the sink is, you're not going to make it. You have to have a trigger. What's the trigger? So Rav Kalman said it's because of the Golus Eretz Yisrael. It's not so simple, because probably a much greater Golus would have been the Bayis Rishon, Aseres HaShvatim. The Bayis Sheni, there only was a minority, there wasn't a majority of Klaishon, was not even living there at the time of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, so it's not so simple, it's the Golus of the land. Yeah, it is. And also, the Golus took place earlier, before, after. The Beis Hamish, what burnt, is what burnt. We all talk about Aschalta de Paranusa. It was ignited on Tesh B'Av. Even though the Gemara says that from the things that happened on Tisha B'Av, the five things that happened, the first thing was what? Was the Meraglim. The Meraglim came back on the night of Tisha B'Av and they gave over a report, and Klal Yisrael, the night of Tisha B'Av, rejected Eretz Yisrael. So you're saying very true. But yet, for some reason, we don't get that impression that that's the main thing. The impression that we get is the reason why we observe Tisha B'Av is because that's the day when Titus lit the match. And it burned until the 10th day, Chatzos. Everything follows from the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. These are terrible things that happened. But it does not appear that these things are the trigger for the day itself. So the question is, okay, we get it, we throw everything in, but why don't we ever have a trigger of shiloi, churban shiloi? Why don't we even at least, we don't even really even throw it in, we don't even focus it on shiloi too much. Shiloi somehow has been forgotten, brushed under the rug. What happened? What happened to shiloi?
Do you know the day that it happened? I don't know the answer.
I don't know. There might very well be a medrash, but these type of medrashim are very questionable, because it's like, you know, people tell today is the yard side of God. God ben Yaakov Avin. Really? How do you know that? How do you know that? I'm just making up. You'll hear once in a while. Rav Meir is going to make an announcement one day. Today is the yard side of Osher ben Yaakov. Wow, how do you know that? He came to you in a dream and he told you? How do you know that? It says it. It says it in the Jewish press. Okay? It says it in the Ated. I don't know, whatever newspaper you're getting it from. Where did they get it from? Oh, they found some real old medrash, some type of, I don't even know what they found. Really? These type of things are not as authentic as we would like them to be, a lot of those type of things. And all right, if you say it is, doesn't hurt to make a l'chaim. No, it doesn't hurt to make a l'chaim. He had to have died sometime during the year. So why not? Okay, so Shiloi, if you're gonna find the calendar date for Shiloi, I don't know. You probably will find, you look hard enough, you'll find some. Merami Pano will tell you what happened on this day. All right, fine. But it doesn't really have any meaning. It doesn't really, we don't find that we really take it too seriously. The question is, why not? Why not? Why has it been forgotten? So there's
the second temple's had the longest consequence. All the other ones within a reasonable period of time.
I'm not so sure. I don't know if you look at it like that.
It was still in exile 2,000 years later.
Okay, but I'm just repeating what I said last week. The truth, though, is, Rabbi Isai, we mourn Shiloi every single day. Every single day we mourn Shiloi. More than we mourn the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and Eretz Yisrael. More than that. Why? Hopefully everyone learns a little Gemara every day, a little bit, a few lines. You should learn a little Gemara. Gemara is really meat and potatoes. Learn a little Gemara, a few lines of Gemara. And the Gemara is called the Havayos, the Abayev Arava. Havayos means, what's a good translation, our expert translator, Rabbi Chol, what's a good word for Havayos? The conversations, the debates, the quarrel, or the Havayos? I don't have a good word, I don't know what it means. The Havayos, the discussions, the dialogues, the debates, the arguments, the spirited discussions of Abaye and Rava on the Talmud. Abaye died when he was 40 years old. Could you imagine that? Rava died when he was 60 years old. And Rava was 60, he was a very busy person. He wasn't learning too much. He was very busy running around doing Tomche Shabbos deliveries. Okay, and look what they did for us. Look what we have in the Shas. Wow, look what they've given us. The Gemara was authored by them to Ravina and Ravashi, but a Bayram came later than Ravina and Ravashi. Ravina and Ravashi are the ones who get credit for being their names go on the front, not Schoenstein. Ravina and Ravashi. Ravina and Ravashi, they wrote the Shas, but on the editors, it says there on the front, it says Abai and Rava, they were Mesader, the words of Ravina and Ravashi. They edited it quite a bit, the conversations, and a lot more went into it as well. But could you imagine what the Shas would be like if Abaye and Rava would have lived to, let's say, 90 years old? It's not unheard of to live to 90 years old. It's not unheard of. Even then, back then, people lived to 90 years old. Okay? 100 years old? Why not? Why couldn't they live maybe even 80 years old? Why couldn't they live until... Could you imagine what the Talmud Bavli would have looked like? Okay, they could have lived another 40 years. It would have been a different world. It would have been a different Talmud. It would have definitely been very different. And it didn't happen. It would have been better. You're not going to say it would have been better? You're not convinced. Okay, I hear what you're saying. But L'chaira, wine, old wine, gets better. They're not, you know, there are people who turn sour when they get older. Maskim.
You always think that she will be drunk. But I'd like to make a challenge next time you go to Chaim Berlin and ask them why you're learning the Gemara. What are you thinking about? They're not going to tell you.
I'm thinking about what's for lunch and what's for supper.
There's nothing with Shiloh. That doesn't come to anyone's mind.
So, I'm telling you what you should think about.
No, so now we will.
So let me explain. Shiloh was destroyed because of terrible averos. And the psukim described there were a lot of averos, but much of it comes down to corruption. Corruption. You're in a holy place, and this place is corrupt. There are bribes, people being paid off, people not doing. They're just using this base hamigdash as a means, personal agenda. Everyone has a personal agenda, and they use religion as a personal agenda. It was corrupt. And the people, it wasn't just destroyed. The people who were involved in this corruption were cursed. And that curse, Rabbi Yehuda HaChaz says, the Gemara says, was so severe, it broke all the rules of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Poikein ovan ovos al bonim, al b'nei bonim, al shilei shiv al ribeim. Ad kan! You know, the suffering comes to an end. Eoiv only suffered for 7 months. It came to an end. Came to an end, the suffering. So Hashem says, I'm not going to go curse you forever. 4 generations, you're done. You paid your debt. And yet, no, this is an exception. This curse is going to go down for a very long time. It went all the way down to Abaye and Rava. So it says, every book, no one's coming to disagree with this, Abaye and Rava were descendants of Eli HaKoyen, and they died B'chatzi Yamav. 40 and 60. And because they were the ones who arranged, gave us the Shas, they're the ones who gave us our bread and butter, the whole Klal Yisrael is based on Talmud Bavli. It's the foundation of, it's like I told you, it's like the second Torah Shebichsav. You have the Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, and then you have the Talmud Bavli, which is like the next level of Torah Shebichsav almost. And the Goinim, they're the ones who preserved the Mistershal Alpeh of the Shas. This could have been a lot better. I know you're going to tell me, Mr. Plotnik, that who says it'll be better? People get older, they get... People write novels, they write books, they write this. Artists and musicians. The stuff they did when they were young was good. And then when they get older... Not so good, right?
Nothing better than
okay, I can give you some examples. But that's not always the case. There are people that get better with age. Okay? Old wine gets better. So you're dealing with someone like a buyer, we have a right to
they
assume.
Die young. I mean, they didn't die old.
They died 40 years old.
They died
60.
Yeah.
We have a right to assume that had they lived another 40 years, they would have gotten exponentially better. And the quality of what they produced would have been exponentially. You know how many children have a hard time learning the Daf Gemara? You know what's going on out there? What's going on out there? Gemara is not for everyone. Okay? It's not for everyone. You read Gobelin's Gemara, doesn't work. So you're going to say to me, you're going to make up a Baba Maisa, maybe I don't say that, you're going to say to me, oh, it's right, because it's not for everyone. I hear all these crazy things over the years. Why is it not for everyone? Could you imagine a Bayan over live another 40 years, perhaps the possibility they would have refined the Talmud to the degree where children today, when they learn Gemara, it would have been a product that would have been different in a way that we don't understand, and no one would have a problem with it. We wouldn't have to spend millions of dollars on tutors to milk you out to help these kids just keep up with everyone. Okay, and yet it didn't happen. You know why it didn't happen? Because Shiloh was destroyed. Shiloh was choraf because corruption. And the effects of the Churban of Shiloh in many ways are more practical than the effects of the Churban Bayis Sheni. No, the Bayis Sheni, there's no Bayis Sheni, so where do you live in America? And you have a job, and you have a life, and you have chulu v'chulu. Life goes on. Okay, you have a nice shul, nice air conditioning, it's comfortable, v'chulu v'chulu. But Daf Gemara, even as good as it is, who knows how good it could have been if Abaye and Rava would have lived another 40 years and would have had the ability to refine, to continue in their work. Who knows? And they didn't. Why not? Because Shiloh was destroyed. Because Eli HaKoyen did not take it upon himself to give Musar to his two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, who were thoroughly corrupt. Okay, so there's something about Shiloh in us, a Churban of Shiloh.
Now go. Rabbo was the from Mishpat Eli. Rabbo was Maspelukta.
Abai and Rava.
Rabbo.
Rabbi and Rabbo?
Yeah.
I made a mistake then. Is Abai and Rabbo?
Rabbo is Maspelukta of the Gemara. But Rabbo is the same from
family. Who was cursed from Eli HaKoyen?
Rabbo.
You sure?
No,
okay.
I think Abai and Rava. You're right. The reason why Rava lived longer is like you said,
Chesed.
He did Chesed, so he lived 60
years
instead of 40.
It's Rabbo.
I don't know, maybe, I don't know. We have to look it up. It doesn't change the Vard one kizeh. It doesn't change my Vard. But I know, Abaye, I know, with the Reish, with the Aleph and the Hey, I know. We have to check out the sources. It doesn't change the Vard one, if it was a Rav or Rabba.
It's
Rabba?
Yeah.
You have to, you show me later on.
Rabba, Aleph, that's Mat Peluktav, the Abaye. Al-Hakeh.
Yes, the Havayo is the Abaya and the Rava. Abaye, it says Abaya was a descendant of Eli HaKoyen. He died 40 years old.
Yeah.
And the other one, who's the other one who
Rabba,
died? Rabba or Rava?
Rabba
was his uncle. Abaye's uncle.
It was uncle, blood relative. So he had to be the one that died also? Okay. So
Rabba
far.
Is a Murad.
And he lived a long life, Abaya?
Yeah, Rabba, something else.
And Rava lived a long life?
No, Rabba.
Okay, I hear. It doesn't matter because at least one of the two, and the other one as well, even if it was Rabba, Rabba is a major player in the Gemara, a major, major player, commented and was part of the Mesorah. If they are such an integral portion of the Gemara, there is absolutely no way it would have been the same had they lived longer. And we suffer from that in ways that we have no understanding of because they died young. A lot of people, they say that. They say a lot of Gedolei Yisrael. They say Rabbi Belsky. That's what they say a lot about it. They say about him is that how do you live like another he died very young, Rabbi Belsky, Tarvidas. No, he al derech hatava. He should have lived at least another 10, 15 years. 10-15 years to be shoyei from him, Eitzah v'Soshia, who could paskin like him? He knew how to paskin. Every day there are new, complicated shilas, and he knew how to paskin. He issued heavy duty piskei halacha, no nonsense. It's a shame what we lost. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a zaken muflugger. Rav Moshe Feinstein was in the mid-90s, upper 90s? 91? 91. Okay, so can you imagine he would have lived another 10 years, Rav Moshe? Would have been a different world today. All right, let's go weiter. Kuf Samachek. Sip, Pugit, Ovenam, 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 Lusson, Ovenam, 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 Ovenam. So if you make this calculation, four verse of 2,000, it is ratio of 500. Okay, so you divide 2,000 by four. Bonim, bnei bonim, shileshim, ribeim is four. And alofim is 2,000. So 2,000 divided by four is 500. The midah tov Hashem is 500 times more midah punishment. Im kain. A person that was meant to live in Gan Eden to be 1 year, lama ye began Eden tuf kuf shana. Ella misha oivet al menash leilikabel pras. So basically saying is, think of the difference of being able to live in Gan Eden for 1 year versus living in Gan Eden for 500 years. That's something which I think the person can appreciate. It's opening up our minds. And there's a difference between the good midah of Hashem and when Hashem punishes. When Hashem punishes, it's only for how long? Four generations. When Hashem rewards, how long is it for? 2,000. So what's the difference in numbers? Ratio.
Four generations of 2,000?
Yes. 500. 2,000 divided by four is 500. Correct? 2,000 divided by 4,
correct.
500. So that means when Hashem wants to be good, tough kuf. Tough is 400, kuf is 100. Tough kuf. Tough kuf is 500. Okay, good. No, it's okay. This is okay. Tough kuf is 500. So it comes out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be good, his mid of Tov is 500. Now think of it like this. So we have a hard time appreciating what that means. But think about, person comes to the next world and Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a lease in Gan Eden. How long should the contract be? Either for one person, he writes 1 year. You go to Gan Eden for 1 year. And then we'll figure out what to do with you. And you go to Gan Eden for 500 years. Big difference, no? Big difference. Here he's coming to make it very practical to understand the difference between the two. If you read the pasuk yesterday, how many people thought about this yesterday? When you leaned it twice yesterday, Shacharis and Mincha, oh, Hashem is very, oh, Hashem is chesed. 500, did you think about what the difference between Hashem's chesed is when Hashem is angry? Think about that. But here he's coming over here to show you a practical example. Put your finger on the pulse. What it means, Hashem is kind. You can go to Gan Eden for 500 years. If Hashem just wants to be, you know, he's a little angry at you, so you go to Gan Eden for 1 year. You get a more of a sense of appreciation. Ella, Misha Oyved Al Menash Shalei L'Kabel Pras. So he's coming to follow through. A person that serves Hashem Al Menash Shalei L'Kabel Pras. You serve Hashem 100% L'Shem Shemayim. Umisimchas Leiv. And you love Hashem. Ein hefsek litoivosov. There is no limit to Hashem's goodness. Shenemar v'ameich kulam tzadikim le'olam yirshu oretz. They will inherit the land forever. Uchsev yodei Hashem yimei simimim v'nachalasam. Their inheritance will be le'olam tia. So he's trying to say over here that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves a person, He doesn't just give them 500 years. He gives them even more. He gives them eternity. He gives them, he's saying over here, only three madregas. Madrega of four generations. A madrega of 500 times that. And then he says about people who serve Hashem 100% l'shem shamayim. You do a mitzvah, with ulterior motives, it appears that he's saying that Hashem will give you 500 years, more of it will give the sinner. Hashem has rachmanis upon a sinner also. A person does an avera. Hashem still loves him. Hashem still loves a person who does an avera. You got to do tshuva, but it'll get a year of Gan Eden. It'll get a year of Gan Eden. If you do a mitzvah with ulterior motives for the kavod, for whatever it is, for the money, it's also good. You didn't do an avera, you did a mitzvah. I love you even more. I'll give you 500 years. I only gave the balavera 1 year. The one who did the mitzvah with ulterior motives, he gets it for 500 years. But a person that is so good and he serves Hashem, al menash loy lekabel pras, he gets eternity. All right, that's enough. We'll stop here. I'll take a short break. And then we're going to learn about some inyanim. We'll continue. We learned last week about minhagim that we do the entire year that are zecher lechorban. He went to Alaska, where it's cold. He went to Alaska, where they have natural air conditioning. For 2 weeks. He'll probably be back soon. He's already back. He already came back to suffer with us.